Today is the 12th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Man, I know where I look at these calendars because I say the day every day. I can't believe we're like... We just got here to April. So I guess things are moving along. Good to be here with you today on the 12th day of April. As we take our next step forward on the journey, we have begun the book of Joshua. So we finished the Torah, and we're moving into Joshua's leadership. We finally got into this promised land we've been moving toward all year, practically. And so now we're there, and we're about to find out all that happens next. Today, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, verse 15. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise this second generation of Israelites." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath Haralot. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died, for they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt." So that place has been called Gilgal till this day. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town." So Joshua called together the priests and said, "Take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn." Then he gave orders to the people, "March around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord." After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the Ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout. Do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, "Keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out along with all her family." The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua invoked this curse. "May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Avon. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since there are so few of them. Don't make all our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the Ark of the Lord until evening. And Joshua cried out, "O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" But the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. In the morning you must present yourselves by tribes, and the Lord will point out the tribe to which the guilty man belongs. That tribe must come forward with its clans, and the Lord will point out the guilty clan. That clan will then come forward, and the Lord will point out the guilty family. Finally, each member of the guilty family must come forward one by one. The one who has stolen what was set apart for destruction will himself be burned with fire, along with everything he has, for he has broken the covenant of the Lord and has done a horrible thing in Israel." Luke 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him this story. A man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." Psalm 81. For the choir director, a psalm of Asaph to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. Sing praises to God, our strength. Sing to the God of Jacob. Sing. Beat the tambourine. Play the sweet lyre and the harp. Blow the ram's horn at new moon and again at full moon to call a festival. For this is required by the decrees of Israel. It is a regulation of the God of Jacob. He made it a law for Israel when he attacked Egypt to set us free. I heard an unknown voice say, "Now I will take the load from your shoulders. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble and I saved you. I answered out of the thundercloud and tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah. Listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings. O Israel, if you would only listen to me. You must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things." But no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around. So I let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would be upon their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him. They would be doomed forever, but I would feed you with the finest wheat. I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock. Proverbs 13:1. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction. Okay, so yesterday in the book of Joshua, we finally experienced this mythic crossing of the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And we'll be there. We'll spend most of the rest of the time that we have in the Bible in this land, in this geographical region. And so we're there, and today we experienced the first victory, but we also experienced the first defeat. The victory, obviously very dramatic, very famous, very sensational conquest of the city of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and everybody obeyed God, and And God did what he said he would do. He went before his people and the walls fell down. But the victory was replaced by a demoralizing defeat in a tiny little city, like a village called Ai, which is not far from Jericho, and the ruins of it still exist today. And they went to attack Ai and got defeated. And so Joshua's freaking out. What am I supposed to say, God? What am I supposed to say? We fled from our enemies. We just did this thing in Jericho, and now we're running from our enemies. And as soon as everybody hears about it, oh, Lord, we should have stayed on the other side of the river. But there was a reason, right? We know this. There was a reason. And this unfolds in pretty sobering ways. And it will be a very sobering thing as we engage with our reading tomorrow. And we'll see how this story plays out. Then when we flip over into what we read in Psalms today, I mean, there's some important questions. Does God have feelings? Think about that for a second. Does God have feelings? Does the way that we live our lives have any effect on God? Does he ever get exasperated? Does he grieve? Does he mourn? I guess it's interesting to think about if we think about God, but what if the answer is yes? I mean, what if the answer is yes? Would that have any effect on us at all? Would that change the way that we lived if we knew that we were affecting God? But the things that we do affect God. I quote from the Psalms today, "But no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around. So I let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas. Oh, that my people would listen to me." That is the voice of God from the Psalms. Doesn't sound like he doesn't care. Doesn't sound arrogant. Doesn't seem disinterested. Because maybe he's not disinterested. Maybe he isn't indifferent to us, even though we blame him and think that all the time. And maybe God's never been without emotion towards his people. I mean, at this point in the Bible, we should probably be aware of that. God wants to know us, but he wants to be known by us. That's what we call relationship. And in relationships, if one person is indifferent, how does it work? If you're married and your spouse is indifferent, how long does that work? Like that doesn't work. But we often blame God for indifference when it's we who are being indifferent to his heart. Reading from Psalms gives us like a little peek into what it feels like when we do this from God's perspective. And so just imagining that our actions will matter today in our relationship with God, because our actions will matter in all of our relationships today. It doesn't matter because we fear punishment if we're bad. It's that he wants a relationship, and that requires trust, my friends. When we get into a relationship with somebody, we are trusting them with our hearts. God is trusting you with his heart. That's a pretty big deal. Maybe it'd be good for us to pay attention to that. And so, Father, we come into your presence acknowledging this. It almost feels weird to think about that. Like you could be susceptible to any kind of emotion. Like, you're God. Whatever you think you can do, whatever you want, whatever you like, whatever you dream up, you're God. You can do it. It's just that you have been captured by us. Your creation, you created something that you loved. And that is us. And if you love us, then you have feelings about it. And that tells us a lot about ourselves. Because we're the same way, and wouldn't that make sense since we are created in your image? And so maybe we know how to be in a relationship with you a lot better than we ever thought. Maybe it's not about all these things that we've been taught. Maybe it's about being with you, aware that we are together and that what we do matters. Help us to open our eyes, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's the website. That's where you can find out what's happening around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will do that as well, and a lot more, right in the palm of your hand. So look for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your device. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a number of resources to take this journey deeper into relationship with God, and wider, more awareness of the lands that we are visiting as we visit the Bible. Also fun things like the brand new hats that we have for this quarter. Just check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There's fun and meaningful resources there for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you profoundly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Morning, guys. It's the pastor's daughter here, aka Libby. Just wanted to share with you this stunningly beautiful verse, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will graciously give you a new tender heart and put a new willing spirit inside you. I will remove your hard heart of stone and give you an obedient heart instead. How glorious is that, that he would do that for us, that we don't have to do that ourselves. And we're wondering about our own obedience, but he will give you the heart and the obedience and the willingness to follow him. All you have to do is surrender to Jesus, surrender your heart. And just as a testimony, if you're having a hard day, hold out your hand and ask him to take it and walk with you. I did this yesterday through a very difficult day. And guys, it's a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing to walk through your day with Jesus. And it works. It changes everything. Love you guys. Have a blessed day.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, as we begin our day, we ask for your guidance and strength to help us serve others. Remind us that every act of service, no matter how small, can make a big difference in someone's life. As we go about our day, please give us eyes to see the lonely, the hurting, and the marginalized. Help us to reach out to them in love and show them they are not forgotten. Please remind us that every person we encounter is created in your image and deserves to be treated with love and respect. May we be vessels of your compassions and sources of hope and comfort to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
This is Hands to Heaven. Sheena of Saskatchewan, I heard you on the April 6th Prayer and Encouragement podcast. And the first call I heard you make, your voice was fraught with emotion. Your heart was obviously breaking for the pain and grief of the legal situation that you are experiencing right now. But you continued to reach out and pray for the others in their own sufferings. Then I heard you call back, and each successive call, your voice became firmer and stronger and more confident and more at peace. And that is such an amazing testimony to the redemptive power of Christ. When we release to him the pains and sufferings that we're experiencing and allow him to use them, he redeems them by ministering to others through our suffering. I've had trouble putting this into words, Sheena, but I so appreciate what you're doing for others with legal situations. God bless you. This is Hands to Heaven.
Hi, DAB family. This is Tito Ramirez calling from Southern California. I'm calling in a prayer request for a friend of mine. He's a fellow dad. Our kids go to the same school, and he was diagnosed a while back with multiple myeloma. And he's been treated. He has on and off bouts of chemo every 3 weeks that he's going to have to do for the rest of his life. But as you might imagine, that runs his immune system down. And he's been dealing with some shingles that actually traveled to his face and caused some paralysis. And it's just a lot for somebody to deal with. And I would just like to lift Joel up for healing. He's such a good guy. He's just one of the best dads. He's one of those dads that just coaches basketball with the kids, just a really good, upbeat, loving Christian man. It just breaks my heart to see him suffer. So let's raise up Joel for healing. Thank you guys so much. I love you.